your life. That's an important thing.
I do. You're right. I do. And I'm very excited to do it.
It's about, because when you're an adult and you have bullshit, right? Like, I have tons of toys, but I don't really, I don't play with them the way a kid would play with them.
And I want to.
Right. But it's like, well, if that's your thing, that's okay. But but it's about the vibes you get from them, right? It's a, you have to curate your space. You have to own the space you're in. So I like to have colorful bullshit around me.
I mean, I dig it. I have, the only curating I've done is my Back to the Future stuff. I have two shelves in my room.
What do you got? That are,
I have all four versions of the DeLorean. So I have, like, the model cars, the, I guess that size. Maybe a little, probably to scale to that. And it's number one with the antenna on the side.
Sure.
Number two, it's in hover status.
Yes.
Number three with the red tires, the red and white wall tires. And then the second car from number two on the railroad tracks.
So, and you have the train one?
I have the train car, yes.
Oh, okay, not,
yeah,
the,
not
train.
The train.
The
train
Doc has at
I've
the end.
Looked all over the place, and I think like one person has made it themselves.
Yeah, that doesn't get a lot of play, that one.
It doesn't. As
Except
a child,
in the Saturday morning cartoon. In the Saturday morning cartoon, they use that a lot.
See, and I still have my McDonald's, my Burger King toy from Back to the Future that has Doc sticking his head out of the DeLorean, and yeah, really, really, really freaking cool.
The, what does he say? The future... The future is what you make
the
it.
The future
so
is whatever you
one.
Make it, so make it a good one. I wrote that in my friend's wedding card when they got married. Guy,
absolutely
the guy was a big
beautiful.
Back to the Future fan.
Did you say it like, did you write it squiggly to get, to sort of like somehow visualize Doc's voice?
There were a lot
the
of.
Future is what you make it, so make it a good
I
one.
I wasn't that creative. I should have given a little bit of.
The just
emphasis.
Like kind of like italics, but more like
chance,
more shaky.
There's a chance that my terrible handwriting did a good job.
Yeah.
Of being Doc's raspy voice.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by two lovely people. Of course, the wonderful, lovely JGL, Jennifer Grace Latrell.
Hello.
And our friend Nick Potato. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you very much.
Welcome. You haven't been here before.
I have not. And
you've never been in this basement before.
I've never been in this basement before, and it's an incredible space. It's an inspirational space.
Thank you. So what do you, how is this going to inspire you? What are you going to get? Are you going to go and...
So I started to go through what I'm going to keep, like what I, what, like you just said, what gives you the feels, the feelings, the emotions that come from looking at certain items. Like I saw your R2-D2 back here, and I was like, oh my God, R2-D2 is my guy. I have one thing from, I won't even, I have so many things, but would I want to... I want to just put it out, and I want to have it so that people can see the stuff I have. And it's a wide random variety, similar to what's in here. Toy Story, Back to the Future, R2-D2 only, like droids. I'm not. I like Star Wars, but it's R2-D2, BB-8. I have a couple of each.
Interesting.
R2-D2 is my guy.
Would you say that Back to the Future is your number one fandom?
100%. Back to the Future is my... And I almost last minute did the Comic-Con this year just to... try and get a picture with the two of them because of just like how time goes. Like you never know with things and when that chance might come, but I couldn't.
Time! are you excited about the Broadway show?
I am. I'm very excited.
We should all go together.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Money! I don't know why I deferred to you.
I'm good.
You can give us like an Emmett like Clara.
Emmett! So yes, well, we're actually not here to talk about Back to the Future today.
Or toys.
We're here to talk about Boy Meets World.
So excited!
Jen, you've wanted to do this episode for how long?
A million years, since you've started the podcast. And every Halloween, I always ask for the episode, the Scream episode. And I'm always denied. I want the listeners to know that.
I think about it every time, though.
Yeah, but you always say no.
It's not a flat... No.
It's pretty flat.
Did you get to do it this year or no?
Nope.
If we had, you know, we're getting more into theme stuff. Okay. So, you know, if we did Scream episodes a long time ago, we did it for like two Halloweens ago or something, or three Halloweens ago. So if I did it now, I would do Scream and then I'd have you talk about. You call it the Scream episode, but what's it really called?
And then there was Sean.
And then there was Sean, which is... The episode that I've seen a lot because you make us watch it every Halloween.
You bet.
But was it a Halloween episode?
No, it wasn't. The Halloween episode was with DJ Tanner. Although she wasn't DJ. She was
I wish I could
Millie.
Tell you her name.
Her name was Millie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a... It's
like
not
a bad
a...
witch, like with the monkeys.
Yeah.
It's not a shared cinematic universe?
No. But there are some. There are. There's one crossover with Salem.
Well, also that same episode is Sabrina in the after credit
scene. You're right.
And she's Sabrina,
right. And she's Sabrina,
who is a witch.
You're right.
So in the world of Boy Meets World, there is magic.
One episode.
I mean.
One episode.
The world.
Well, yeah.
So you would say the canon of this show is not extremely strong.
I mean, it's okay for a sitcom in the 90s.
Don't people, disappear? Doesn't he have a sibling that disappears, or am I thinking of another show?
Yeah, he has a sibling. Well, you know what? Sean's a complex guy. You know, his dad has met a few people.
Oh, wait, are we talking about Sean's sibling kids? Or Corey's sibling?
Let's talk about Corey's sibling.
No, he doesn't have a sibling that disappears.
Oh, he doesn't?
I mean, she changes.
Form.
They change actors.
What does she become? Oh, okay. I thought she became like a deer or something. Like, one episode is just like, hey, where's Katie? it's a weird choice this season.
I like old Morgan.
Old Morgan was adorable.
Wow, we're already throwing down the hot takes.
Yep.
Right away. Well, let's say Boy Meets World was I'm going to call it a young adult sitcom, although it aired in the evening, prime time. It aired from 1993 to 2000. Nice long run. It had 158 episodes. It was created by Michael Jacobs and April Kelly. Jacobs, was he also the one who did all those other shows?
Yeah, he was all over all that young
Dinosaurs, 90s. Sinbad. Yeah. Torkelson's, personal favorite of mine. Charles in Charge. He did a lot. He did a lot of shit. Here's the real thing. Here's the real reason we haven't done it so far is because this is a huge fandom of Jen's and a huge fandom of yours. Mm-hmm. But it's not a huge fandom of mine. I watched the first, I'm going to say, 3 seasons as it aired, and then I kind of just lost track of it. But I'm also, I'm definitely older than you. I don't know if I'm older than you. Probably I am. I'm older than everyone. So you were younger, so you were with it longer. It's kind of like maybe we could say the way you feel about this is the way I feel about something like Saved by the Bell.
I stuck with Saved by the Bell through the college years.
But the way he feels about Saved by the Bell, so if it's like his go-to
sitcom
of kids
in high
school.
I'm uncritical about it. Like, I could still watch it and be like, this is great, even though if I were watching it for the first time now.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Zach Morris's trash videos?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
And it's shocking.
How do those feel for you as, a big Saved by the Bell
it's
guy?
It's shocking how...
accurate?
It says something... Well, it really says something about the ideology of the 80s, where it was like... The coolest thing you could do is just be a dick to people. Just like, I'm a dick and I'm going to strong arm teachers and women and just be really mean to my close personal friends. And somehow I'm the good guy.
Yep.
Zach Morris is trash. But know who isn't trash?
Corey Matthews.
Played by who?
Ben Savage.
So, all right. Tell me. So why is this show so, I don't know, good, so important?
I'll get into the importance. I think for some of the episodes are very of its time, but some of the episodes are way ahead of its time. Like, one of my favorite episodes, I think, would be a strong contender now. Chick Like Me.
Mm.
What's it about? Nick concurs.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive I know where you're going, but we'll see if I'm right.
So, of course, everything that happens has to also happen in the classroom. So Mr. Feeney is teaching Black Like Me.
This is your favorite or one of your favorites?
It's probably my favorite.
We're getting to that? Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, your favorite?
My favorite up there is the Halloween quote unquote episode. The Scream episode.
Yeah, that's one too.
That's up there.
I feel like this one's pretty important.
It's important for sure.
Yeah.
What is it?
Because that's the one where Mr. Feeney's teaching the book Black Like Me by John Howard Griffin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then how does the episode play out?
So Corey is writing an article that is not, it's going well, but he's not exactly writing it on anything important. And Topanga and another girl in the class are talking about how terrible dating is going and how guys don't listen and, it's rough out there. And so they decide to Corey and Sean, more so Sean, decides to dress as a woman and live life as a woman or a girl, a teenage girl.
Like undercover stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And go out there and like see what it's really like.
Right. Today, in 2022, it, even though it's trying to be progressive, it might be problematic. But it's not trying to be problematic.
Right.
It's trying to be like, they're really trying to see what life is like.
But I don't think it would be that problematic.
Well, do they get comedy out of them dressing like women?
That's the thing. They do a little bit with Corey, but with Sean, like, I feel like if you took the laugh track out, you would have a much better, like, you wouldn't really need to change that much. Uh-huh. But even with Sean, when they start out wanting to make Corey into a woman, and that's where most of the laughs come from. Mm-hmm. But when Sean, it's Corey, Topanga, and Sean in Corey's bedroom while he's dressing up. And
my Sean's hosiery like, is bunching.
Right. But like while they're in the bedroom, Corey's like, they're really trying to make it work for Corey, where he really, you know, presents as a woman. And Sean is like, no, you need to walk like this. Women glide. You need to do more like this. And then they decide to go with it with Sean. And even when they're like talking about names, you know, Corey just throws out a name. And Sean's like, no, I want Veronica. And Topanga's like, wow, you really thought about this. Like, they take it pretty seriously.
There's a care that Sean puts to it that I think would keep it from not being problematic. Like, he puts so much intentionality behind his character in the show's intentionality behind him being a woman.
And then even when he's on the date, you know, like, the guy that he goes out with was the same guy that they were complaining about. And he, like, puts his hand on Sean's knee, and Sean's like, I told you not to do that. And like, it's just like a real eye opener that, you know,
especially for Sean, who is kind of like a player.
Right.
Yeah.
And doesn't really realize that, you know, just because a girl's pulling away or doesn't really want that, that you shouldn't keep trying. Like, why you shouldn't keep trying.
So why is this one of your favorite episodes?
I think it holds up. I was like really impressed with it when I saw it. I mean, and it has its funny moments, like with Corey. Corey ends up like playing a diner woman, which is just like a really funny, like out of nowhere thing, because they have to do everything together, which I think is another big like theme in the show.
Across the entire board.
Their friendship is just so like beautiful. But yeah, I don't know. It's really like eye-opening.
And their friendship is painted as one that seems very one-sided because Corey comes from one side of the tracks, if you will, and Sean comes from the trailer park, but Sean's there for Corey so many times that you, when you look at it first glance, like, oh, Corey's always got Sean's back because Sean's parents aren't there, and Sean's bad in school, and Sean is always getting in trouble. When you flip it, Corey gets himself into these messes that Sean is always has his back, like without a doubt. And it's, I think that's one of the underlying themes that you look at as a kid, and you want that as a kid. You want to have a friendship like that. And I think that's one thing that sticks, that makes the show like really hold up.
That's interesting because I feel like only now, like within the last 10, 15 years, you're beginning to see a lot of shows and movies that put emphasis on positive male friendships.
Yeah, this is definitely.
But this is definitely like an early text.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. There's a few episodes where they're torn apart, but I just watched like the one episode where they kind of like break up. They have like a big fight and they're just like not talking to each other, and they each go and find new friends, and it's like really paints it as a breakup, which I feel like people don't talk about friendship breakups.
Yeah. Hard. Well, there's a great movie called Frances Ha, where it's about like two female best friends, and one just like kind of gets a boyfriend and gets a new job, and it's basically just a breakup movie. But like, it's weird because like people, it happens in life, but people don't appreciate it or talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you say that. But going back to what we were saying before, compare Sean and what's his nuts,
Corey
to
what's his nuts. I like that.
Compare that to Zach and his friends. Right. Slater is let's call Slater his best friend. Right. They're constantly fighting. They're constantly trying to one-up each other. Screech is probably his other best friend. He's literally treating him like garbage constantly.
Zach Morris is trash.
But and we're meant to be like, yeah, cool. Like, this is such a better, positive friendship.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting, sorry, that you're saying that with, because if you think of all, aside from Will and Jazz, I can't think of a good,
Will
because
and Jazz are good ones.
That's crappy. You think of Urkel, Eddie's his what? Eddie's his best friend. Waldo's Eddie's best friend. They both get treated like garbage the whole show.
Yeah.
And that's the two parallels I can think of as far as like male friendships.
It's
like
true.
So that's a really good call by you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Let's step back for a second. I want to know, I want to get more personal. I want to know more your histories with it. Do you remember the first time you saw it? How did you fall in love with it? What was the experience for you?
I feel like I like Full House, I guess because we were both pretty young when it was on. I don't remember seeing it for the first time. It was just always there. Oh. But like the same with Full House because I'm a year younger than the Olsen twins. It was just always, it was literally there my whole life. But so like, I feel like even earlier episodes, I don't always remember as well when they were on. I remember like the high school episodes really well and the college episodes, which I don't love.
Nick, what's your history?
So for me, I remember TGIF. TGIF being the lineup of, like, it was my mom and my brother. And I, same deal with Jen. Like, 1993, I was still watching Thomas the Train and, like, watching VHSs when I came home from school.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I had no idea what was on TV.
Right, right.
But I think by, like, I remember vividly second grade, third grade, having a crush on a girl, talking to my friends, and trying to plan out the Hot Stuff episode. Like, and trying to do, like, this choreographed thing to try and, like...
What is it? What happens in that?
So, it's a great one. In that episode, it's... The men all manage to piss off their significant others. Mm-hmm. So,
including Feeny.
Yeah.
Feeny.
He's dating somebody. He's courting a young lady, if you will. And they all manage to just, like, do something to, like, be a careless dude. And it's like, oh, men are idiots. And this whole thing. So, the men come together, and they try and think of a way to... woo the women, and all the women go out that night together to the same dance club that they were in, that the men were invited to, but the men don't go because they all wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, and the women are out having a good time, and then they all the men come out on stage and do a choreographed number to is it Donna Summer's Hot Stuff?
I think so.
Yeah, and they got this little hip thing going, and there's this move that Feeny does that I to this day recreate at weddings when that song plays, and. It's just, it's phenomenal.
It's so good.
So as a young man, you were like, I got to do this in real life.
All the stuff Corey did, like everything he did with Topanga, like I was him and Urkel, like I watched and I was like, okay, these are the things that I want to do.
Interesting.
The girl that I like in the second grade, girl that I like in the third grade.
So it was like for you, Corey was like a model in a way. You identified with him and you wanted to act like him.
I identified with him.
Because you were also a boy. Meeting the world.
Right. I was a boy meeting the world.
We'll be right back.
No. Yeah, no, that was part of it. Like you felt like you, and I looked at like my best friends, like my friend Ian was like my Sean in a way. And like we did all the things together, whatever it was.
Was
we
he trash? Hot trash?
No, he wasn't trash. He was the man.
Regular hot?
Was he from the wrong side of the tracks?
No, he was from the next block over. We were on the same side of the tracks.
Was it the wrong side of the...
Did he have really good hair that went...
No, he had Corey's hair. We joke about it. He had Brillo head. He says it to this day. He hates his hair.
I know. I
was
a
close thing to Sean's
questions.
Hair. I had a mullet when I was a kid, so like I had flowy locks as a child.
Flowy locks. So, yeah, it's interesting. I guess it shows a different... Again, it shows a difference in our age. Like... I was big on TGIF, but when I think TGIF, I immediately think the lineup from when I was a kid. Full House, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, Just the Ten of Us.
See, for me, Perfect Strangers and Family Matters.
I've never heard of Just the Ten of Us.
Just the Ten of Us.
I love TGIF.
It was, I think, it may be the very, that I might be wrong, but I might have just said the very first lineup. Just the Ten of Us was... I still like it. I've seen clips of it on YouTube. I'm like, this is good. Just the Ten of Us was a spinoff of Growing Pains, where the coach, the bold, funny coach from Growing Pains, he goes to work. He moves away from Growing Pains to his own show. And he's got his wife and then 8 kids. And I think they're all girls, or maybe 7 are girls, or one's a boy. And he gets a job being a coach at an all-boys school, but because he's the coach, his daughters get to go there. So there are 8 girls going to an all-boys school. And the main girl is We just saw A Nightmare on Elm Street. Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street, she's the star. She's the main girl in it.
That's fun. Sweet kid.
You want to just watch it real quick or?
No. We're talking about a better show.
Well, okay. Well, it's hurtful, but yeah. So I don't remember like the first time I saw any of those things.
Yeah.
Was it always on TGIF though? Or I might be totally wrong. I seem to have some memory of it changing or moving.
I know that it was always on TGIF. Well, I don't know about the beginning, but I'm pretty sure it premiered on TGIF. But I do know it was always on TGIF because towards the later seasons, I guess, when I was getting older, I would like stay home from school dances to watch it. And the dances were usually on Fridays.
That's a good call.
How do you feel about that now?
I'm fine with it. I didn't miss an episode. There's an episode in Boy Meets World where they change the time and the kid that Topanga's babysitting is referencing the show. And yeah, forget it.
I remember coming home from a school dance early because I was like, yes, but tonight on TGIF they're premiering the first episode of Goosebumps and I've got to check that out. I also have a cool book full of drawings where I get to look at the clues and try to figure it out. So I got things going on tonight, guys. People are like, we don't care.
Well, I needed to know what was happening with Cory and Topanga.
So Nick worshipped, I'm just gonna speak for you, worshipped, wanted to be Cory.
See, if you're gonna use worship, you got like, it's, we're on a different show because I didn't realize at the time, but the role model of all role models was Stephen Q. Urkel.
Okay.
I looked at him and the way he treated people, I was like, that's it.
That's the way
and
to be.
And people pick on me too. So like, we're good.
That's
there.
The way to be.
Yeah, that was my guy.
This is getting so much deeper than I thought this episode was gonna go.
But second in line was Cory and the way they did stuff. So yeah.
I don't always agree with Cory though. As mm-hmm. I've gotten older.
So what I was getting at was like, okay, he models, it's a model for Nick. What do you identify with? What do you get out of it?
Well, the friendship thing. The friendship is freaking golden. The friendship is so non-toxic, like not afraid to be intimate. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times they're painted as being in a relationship, but not like in a way where it was like making fun of them, not in a way where like
it's a homophobic joke.
Right. It I really don't think it was. There's two episodes where they're kind of apart, but there's one episode that me and my friend Kelly used to like to quote a lot, but where a girl gets in the way, someone that Sean's dating that doesn't like Cory, and they like can't see each other, and like Sean, they meet, like Topanga makes it so that they can meet secretly at the library, and Sean brings a giant cookie with a C on it for Cory, and like the girlfriend's name is Jennifer, and she catches them kind of, well, she sees the cookie with the C on it, so he lets her eat it, and then they meet by the bookshelf and he's like, that cookie was for me, wasn't it? And he's like, Cory. Like, it's just it's so good. And I really don't think it's played for laughs. Like, it's really just like a truly like beautiful, intimate male relationship.
And to go with what you said earlier with Saved by the Bell, like I could see moments like that happening between, let's say, Slater and Zach, and then being like almost like brushing it off like they're
too
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, they never brush it off. They never brush it off.
That's what I'm saying. Like that.
Ever.
Did they ever like the same girl and fight over it?
There's one thing I remember. It wasn't the same girl they liked, but Sean was a ladies' man. He was dating a girl on Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday. And he stuck Cory with somebody. Like, they quote it like Tupperware. Yeah. Like, you're gonna keep her safe for me because you're not going to make a move. And then she starts developing feelings for Cory, and Cory makes a move. And Sean's like, bro, what are you doing? So there was that was, I think, the only time there was ever any, like, oh, I like her.
Right. I bring that up because that's almost every episode of Saved by the Bell is the fight over Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, I've made you watch the Scream episode a million times.
Yep.
Like, obviously, Topanga is a very attractive teenage girl. But, you know, Sean will never make a move, but there are times where Sean will make a comment. Like, in the Scream episode, Corey's like, I can't sit behind her and watch her shirt go up when she raises her hand. And Sean's like, all right, I'll sit there. You know, like,
he acknowledges that she's pretty.
He's never going to not acknowledge how she looks, but he's never gonna make a move either.
I get you. I remember in, again, all of my memories of the show are from the very beginning. I remember, like, when, she, like, in the beginning, she was, like, a nerd, or, like, everyone made fun of her.
Oh, yeah. That was another thing. As she got hotter, her parents got hotter. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed that. But in the beginning, she was, like, a weird little, like, hippie girl, and her dad was the guy from the Monkees. Her parents change three times. Well, really, her dad changes three times because you don't see her mom in the beginning. Oh, and she has a disappearing sister. Maybe that's where the disappearing sister came from. But yeah, as she gets older and, like, more attractive and less, like, weird, she kind of takes the spot of Minkus eventually, because then she's just smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, accepted into Yale, and Minkus isn't there anymore, so she doesn't need to be weird. She's just smart and pretty.
Right.
But yeah, as she gets more attractive, so do her parents. They keep regassing them.
So, Nick, let's talk about your favorite episode.
So, the Scream-esque one is up there. The Hot Stuff one is up there. I remember there was a time travel one that I loved with, where I forget how.
Yeah. With the microwave.
Yeah, he gets gets electrocuted. I think, the microwave or toaster oven.
Something. He unplugs something.
He unplugs something, plugs something in. Kitchen. That's the one with Salem, too. Right?
No, there is a time travel one with Salem. But that one's different. One is... Oh, maybe you are thinking of the right one. There's the one that takes them to the 50s, and then the one that like takes them to... Is it the 40s during World War II?
Yeah. When Corey holds on to the locket.
Yeah, that I think that one's the same one. Oh, my God. I totally forgot
that one.
Yeah. The 50s one is the one where he's like, Shaunzy...
There's a lot of good ones with Eric. Eric's so underrated. Like we just, yes. I don't know how long we've been doing this, but we haven't mentioned Eric yet.
I know.
Like the fact that we haven't talked about Eric Matthews and his progression from one type of character to another type of character. Two theories behind that I learned recently. I don't know if you know them.
The second one?
Yeah. So the first one is, so Eric starts out as like the cool older brother. He's got a lot of dates. He's always going out and hanging out and having a good time. And then he turns into this like just crazy character that is just having a good time and kind of like, off
really,
the rocker.
Really goofy.
Really goofy. Goofy.
And I'm just guessing one of the theories.
Well, go.
As Corey gets older, he idolizes him less. So that's
one theory that they have there. The other one that Will Friedle said on a podcast, I think it was, I forget which one. There were a few that I haven't even listened to that one yet. There was one, he does one, it's like a voiceover one, like voice actors.
Oh, yeah. I hear voices.
Yeah.
And
he mentions on there, he goes, the other theory that's out there is Eric's in a car accident at some point in the middle of the show, like a small minor one, and he bangs his head on the glass, and he thinks that like it's brain damage, and he goes from this cool, suave dude to a complete, and he goes, then, I honestly like that one better. I go with the Corey one.
And then the truth is probably that Will Friedle started gaining weight, and they couldn't keep as progressive as I like to think the show is at times. They couldn't keep him as the attractive guy, and now he had to be really goofy because he's chubby.
And then like, you fat man, make haha.
But they do address it. Because he's gaining weight, and Danielle Fishel's gaining weight, and this is after they're married, so they can, like, they speculate that she's pregnant. But, I mean, they do have, like, a real moment where they're, like...
Is that them eating pizza?
It. Yeah.
So, okay. I
just wanted your pizza, you fatty.
So they get married.
Yeah.
When do they get married?
They get married
middle of college, sophomore year.
Yeah, I don't love the college years.
Well, all right, we're talking about people getting married when they're children, and we're talking about time travel.
We're bouncing around.
When does the show jump the shark?
I think college.
Why?
I think college.
And what season? At what point in the show does college happen?
Seven and eight.
You said it was an 8 year run.
Yeah.
1993 to 2000.
Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly the amount of seasons.
I think I'm on season 5 and they're in senior year.
So that makes sense.
And they also finish, so they have to have sped something up because they also finish college. Remember the last episode is they're all graduated. They're all
leaving, the 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a chance that the way it went, they may have like killed 2 years in a season.
Yeah.
2 years of school in a season.
Yeah. I personally think the college years are not great.
Why? Rachel!
Maybe that's it.
Rachel and Jack are kind of forced in.
Yeah, I think there's too many people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you now have where it was kind of the three of them plus the families. Now you have Rachel, who's they met in college and is kind of their roommate. Jack, who becomes a roommate in season 5 while they're still in high school. And then Angela, who I really like, but like, again, like it just feels like too many people and they don't know what to do with all of them. Mm. And like, they make Corey like ridiculously kind of like, I don't know. He's just like very extra goofy.
My brother says it all the time. He goes, he gets worse as the seasons go on.
He gets terrible.
He says because my sister-in-law just rewatched it. And my brother said the same thing about Corey. And then I feel like, Corey's parents end up with another kid.
Yeah.
Like with a season left. Why they have they a need that? They have a newborn. You never see the sister.
It also gets like, not that I'm against like a religious show, but it gets like, it goes from like, you know, you celebrate Christmas, like very, very religious, especially when the baby is born. And
I
like,
remember that episode being,
when does this happen?
You know when I think it happens now that I'm rewatching it? I think it happens with the episode when Sean is in a cult. But also, something happens with, who's the showrunner? Michael Jacobs? No.
I don't know if he's the showrunner, but he's one of the creators.
Right. I think that has something to do with it, too. I forget. I read it somewhere. And I think at some point, he wanted more of that in there.
So, you see a marked difference between like, if I were to watch the pilot and then watch the series finale,
oh, yeah,
would it be like Whiplash?
Huge difference.
What
would
the differences be?
So I feel like, and if you have something, like, me down and I'll stop, but I feel like the differences you see are, first episode, Corey's a kid. Corey's a kid that wants to play baseball. He wants to hang out with his friends. He doesn't want to hang out with his dad. Girls are weird. Girls are gross. Mm-hmm. By the end of the show, Corey is a...
He's very neurotic.
He developed into a big time romantic where nothing could stop him at all. Like him and Topanga, they could stop Thanos if they had to with their love. You didn't need anyone from the Avengers. They could have stopped him with their love. Like that's the kind of character Corey turned into. And then
I also think he became the joke. You know, like there's an episode where he's not doing well, and then he gets diagnosed with hypochondria, and it's like a big, huge, like he just becomes the joke. Like they all leave him. Do you remember that episode?
I don't remember that one.
Like he's just like he's freaking out about everything, and he's like going to the doctor a bunch, and like I mean it's all played for laughs, but he's like he's at the doctor, and he's like my armpit hurts, and then like he comes home, and he's like you all laughed at me, you all said I had nothing wrong with me, but I was diagnosed with something. And then he's like, I'm a hypochondriac. And they all leave. They all just leave. And it's like, I feel like the more they made him kind of in his head, the less like they took care of him in the show.
That sucks because I'm a hypochondriac and it's horrible.
Yeah. But it just like, I don't think that would have happened in the earlier seasons. In the first season, they like touch on a lot of things. They touch on racism. They touch on, like, they're reading... everything has to tie into the show. But they're reading The Diary of Anne Frank in one of the first episodes. Yeah. And Eric is dating a girl who is Asian. And somebody says something, like, not nice to her. And she's crying. Like, something racist. Not just something not nice. They call her a name. Which we don't know what the name is. But that's fine. It doesn't matter. But... You know, Corey's like, that happened today? Like, no. Like, bigotry is in the past. This can't happen today. Like, I feel like they wouldn't have touched on someone. Like, I don't think they would have touched on mental illness with comedy if it was in the earlier seasons.
And then, but it also gets kind of preachy.
Oh, yeah, it definitely gets preachy. There's also the episode with... Where they're, when Corey and Topanga are broken up and she goes on a date with that other guy and they go to look at Starry Night. Yeah. And she asks him what Corey sees and Corey's like, I see God, and he's angry at all the people. And I don't think he would have like said that before. It just feels very forced. If he was always a religious person, that would have been fine. But it just feels like super forced.
And it's interesting because I haven't watched the show full through as an adult. I remember watching it all the time, mm-hmm. like every episode until it ended. I watched reruns nonstop because they were on wherever they were on. And I don't remember. I remember certain spots. Like, I remember the baby episode where they were in, and they were praying. Yeah. I remember the cult one not being super religious, though, because well, there was the cult.
Right.
And then there was, like, human to human, like, hey, this is. And it gets a little more like where Feeny is the Yoda of the world.
Right, right.
And I feel like that was almost in, like, every other episode.
Right.
After the child years.
Right. Well, I only say the cult one only because I just watched it recently. Mm-hmm. And, like, the cult thing isn't really the religious part. That's the same episode where John gets hit, where he gets in the motorcycle crash, and they're in the room with him. And, like, Sean gives this big speech about, like, God, I don't talk to you that much. And, like, I feel like it just feels forced. Like, he just says God too many times, and it just, like,
I forgot
it doesn't
about that.
Feel like real praying, and it just, it feels. I don't know. It's something about it. It feels forced. It doesn't feel like part of the show. And okay. I know, like, within the show, within that one episode, which is a real conversation, which I appreciate that they had, you know, like, Corey is like, listen, like, we talk about everything. We talk about girls. We talk about video games. We talk about everything. But we never talk about beliefs. Because that's when he gets, like, pulled into the cult because he feels like he doesn't have much. And they get him in because he's vulnerable. And, like, that's a real thing that happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they talked about that. And the way that they talked about that. And I don't have a problem with that. I just, like, really just, it was really just Sean's speech that it just doesn't feel.
But doesn't he also get pulled into the mafia?
Well, he tries to get Corey out. You know what it is? Sean's very vulnerable and he's. He doesn't have a lot.
You end up in the mafia. You end up in a cult.
Well, the mafia one, he knows. He knows what he's doing, but he's like, I really want to be able to buy presents.
Are there any? Tell me about characters that come and go. Are there any big characters in the beginning of the show that leave and you feel like they're missed, or are there big characters that come later on that you're like, oh, it got better when they came?
I feel like, and I. Can't believe Turner, Mr. Turner,
yeah.
was a great one that came and served his purpose. He kind of just disappears. I don't know if it's. I think they're still in high school when he's gone. I'm not sure why.
Yeah,
they're
still in high school.
And he just like, falls off the face of the earth and
he's
shows
a teacher?
Up randomly. Yes.
Yeah, he's a teacher, and he sort of like adopts Sean while his parents are figuring out their marriage.
Oh, he's like a cool teacher, right?
Yeah.
He has a leather jacket.
Yeah, and an earring.
His leather jacket, his motorcycle, and his earring.
And he just disappears.
No, he gets into a motorcycle accident, but and that's the last you see of him.
So does he die?
A lot of people think he dies, but then they bring him up like a little later.
I think he shows up in Girl Meets World.
Yeah,
he shows up
in Girl Meets World. But you never see him again.
I feel like in the show, he's there for maybe a season, and you know, like, they have his class every day.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it's like they go to junior year and they just see him in passing because he's in like random episodes, and then he gets in the accident.
Yeah.
And then you never see him. So I don't know if he was like, I don't know if it was like, the world of television taking him to another show
or yeah was, right it could right. be any
number
production
of
reason yeah
he was one that was that came and went
and his friends
the other teacher
Mr. Williams
I think
that was another thing I was just talking to you about this today I don't think it makes any sense that Corey became a teacher because again I'm rewatching it in a lot of the episodes
when is he a teacher
he's a teacher in Girl Meets World
okay
but in a lot of the episodes well, not a lot, but in like, it comes up a few times where he's a really good filmmaker and a really good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think he would have gone for film. And Mr. Williams was the media teacher at their high school.
And what was his job in the Plays with Squirrels episode? Was he a lawyer also?
Oh, you know what? I don't remember.
Because I know.
No, I don't remember either.
I didn't get up to that one. I remember that was the conversation.
That checks.
But you asked me what my favorite episode was, and I tried thinking about this before I got here. I don't think I like there are some that are at the top, but I don't think I have one. It's just such a quotable show randomly throughout that they're just it's spread across the entire from like season two on just random stuff that just always pops up.
So. What are some of the characters that come and go that, you know, you wish had stayed?
I think it would have been cool if Minkus was around. It didn't make sense that he disappeared and then was at high school graduation. And they're like, oh, Minkus, where you been? It's like, what do you mean?
And he was a classmate of them?
He was in the first episodes and was there until the end of middle school, I think.
Uh-huh.
You would have thought he went to a different high school, which would be perfect sense, but then he shows up at graduation. It's like,
yeah.
Huh.
What you doing here, buddy?
I like Angela. I wish she was around more because they keep trying to give Topanga a friend and it doesn't work, except for Angela.
I can't even remember any other Topanga's friends, honestly.
I just feel like whenever there's another girl in the episode, they're almost like automatically... Oh, they... What's her name? Trini. Oh,
Trini.
Brittany Murphy?
Yes. She's played by Brittany Murphy. She's in like two episodes.
If my life depended on it.
Is it a crossover with the Torkelsons?
No. She's really, she's just there to help Topanga and Corey. She's in the episode where Topanga and Corey get together, where he's like, if I could dream up the perfect... Yeah.
Right.
You little badger.
Yeah.
She's that one.
See, like, yep. that's... There you go.
Yeah.
There was one I just thought of. You said Angela... the kid that you tagged in one of your Instagram
Jason
posts recently.
Marsden.
Him. He was He was Eric's perfect best friend.
I said that. I love
but
him.
He was, how but long he, was he on the show for?
A season. That's it.
The but, first one?
No.
No, like three
the
maybe.
The third? Yeah.
That's weird.
Bring him back.
But he was also kind of like a... he was the typical guy best friend.
Right, right. Yeah,
he
no.
He fit what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
He was the guy who... They kind of like the same girl, but
yeah.
he would do whatever he needed to do, even though he was friend at his back. He'd still use him in a way.
Yeah.
Ice skate.
Yeah.
You're learning how to ice skate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can skate real good.
He's so good. Yeah, no.
He's funny. He's good.
Yeah, that's
her, yeah, Trini.
Yeah, I said Trini. I couldn't remember the actress's name.
So, forget episodes. What are better seasons? Favorite seasons?
The middle, dead center, in the middle of the show when they're in high school.
Four, five. Yeah.
Why?
It's
actually, I mean, season one starts off really strong, which often you don't get. Often you need time to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like season one starts off pretty strong. But no, yeah, by then everyone's comfortable. And yeah, that's when all like the really good episodes come out.
You have the Topanga-Corey dynamic.
Right,
Corey
settled.
And Sean are settled. Like, Sean wasn't even... his like best friend early on. So you have the Sean Corey dynamic. I think Mr. Feeney has this like very natural, good teacher, good role model, taking care of them. In the beginning,
kind of
he's almost
mentor,
just like
just
a tough
teacher
that's
yeah.
like, hey, get off my lawn type guy. And then he turns into...
Isn't he their neighbor?
Yeah, he's also their neighbor. Yeah, no, but he's definitely more... He definitely looks out for them more as a mentor than as like... Just
all
of
like them.
You said, like just a teacher.
In the beginning, was that supposed to be the sit of the calm, the situation of the, because a lot of shows begin with like a specific situation and then they grow and they evolve and the writers change it and things change. But I'm wondering, like, in the first episode or in the beginning, is that the elevator pitch? Like, this kid is growing up and he lives next to his teacher.
Yeah, I guess kind of, but also he's the middle child. I think that's a big part of the first season.
Because he has a younger sister?
Yeah, and he gets like forgotten a lot. One time they forget to go to his, like they go to his ball game, but they forget him there. Like,
and he moves out and moves into his treehouse.
Yeah, like a lot of that is about being the middle child. And then he forms an attachment. Like the typical like Feeney call that comes from Eric is not there in the first season. It's mostly Corey building a relationship with Feeney.
And that's also part of like Eric turning from one person to another.
Yeah,
that Feeney call's not even a thought.
I know.
He's too cool for the Feeney call.
Yeah, it comes very, very late. Do you
think the show becomes more of an ensemble? Like it begins being about Corey and then it ends up, well, let's do stories with the brother. Let's do stories with these characters.
Yeah. I mean, I think Eric had some stories, but yeah, it's definitely Corey's show to begin with.
Well, I forget how they titled it, but I remember Will Friedle again talking about getting onto Boy Meets World. It was like the Ben Savage Project.
Oh, wow.
Like they talked about it as like they saw him, they knew him, however they knew him.
Probably from Friend.
Maybe.
Right, he's like the younger brother of someone else who was in... In some ways, a similar show, although more dramatic.
Right.
More dramatic. Obviously, different time period. Like,
yeah.
Right.
This is a '90s kid.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if there are certain things. If you were to say, okay, what happens in a show like this? There's a show and it's about, it's called Boy Meets World. What do you think happens in the series? I would guess things that I think probably don't happen. I would guess he tries drugs, he tries sex, he gets fucked at some point.
I mean, he does when he's married.
He tries. He tries
alcohol. They don't touch on drugs so much.
I don't remember.
But he does get drunk.
Do you feel like
a lot of it is around insecurities, though?
Okay.
A lot of. I mean, the early episodes are around insecurities, but the more like adolescent episodes are for sure around insecurities about the way he looks. Like, there's a whole episode where he's like, I look like a potato. And everyone has a mirror, and he has a picture of his potato head. But, yeah, no, a lot of that is around. And, like, wanting to be cool. A lot of, like, the media stuff. Because they have that media teacher, Mr. Williams, who I love. I wish he was back. But they do, like, a radio show. But every situation, every bit of trouble that they get in, like, big trouble, it's always around like, I just want to be noticed, like, we feel like nothing, we just want to be someone.
I was just gonna say that it's about figuring out their identity.
Yeah,
Corey trying to figure out he's just a regular, and maybe it still spurs from that beginning where it's middle child,
yeah,
young man, not sure who he is, what he is, and aside from his relationship with his best friend and his girlfriend who he doesn't know exists for the first two seasons and then has been in love with since 3 years old, 4 years old. Whatever, it's fine. Not a plot hole at all.
So they retcon a lot of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do, but not... Really, it's just his and Topanga's relationship and when they met.
Yeah, they he like sees
they
her
stay
in school.
Pretty on track.
He sees her in school, and it's like, oh, that's the weird girl.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
When they're in college, they're talking about how they've been in love since they met on the play on the monkey bars when they were 5 years old. And it's like,
but also, there's one point where he's like, my mom and your mom used to walk each other in our strollers. And it's like, that's...
That didn't
Where
happen.
Did you guys meet?
right. I was just saying, that reminds me of Monsters, Inc. Where in they're like, oh, we met as kids. And then they did Monsters University. And they literally just forgot or just ignored a whole conversation in the first movie.
Wait, they say they met as kids?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. That's...
Or either
My
they met as
exploded.
Kids. It's one or the other. It's either they met as kids or they met as adults. But it's not that they met in college.
Huh.
Yeah. And then stuff with Sean, too. Like, the trailer park doesn't come until later. So for a while, he's just, like, on the same, I guess, like, economic.
I think this is a change in media. Like, now we're such a media-saturated culture, and we have... streaming services where we can watch things and rewatch things. Like, you know, in old shows, they would change things because they were like, yeah, you're not going to remember. They would change characters. They would remove characters. They would change actors. Like, you would never do stuff like that now. Like in the famous one in Bewitched where they changed the husband. In a show now, they would kill the husband and write in a new character. They would never they would never just change the actor like that. But they're like, you know, back then it was like, no one's going to remember. Well,
they changed Morgan's.
They changed Morgan.
She wasn't in a season. She wasn't in a whole season.
That's the younger sister?
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about before.
No, I know. But yeah, it was old Morgan. No, I forgot. She wasn't in a season, but they mentioned her. It's not like they didn't
and then
ignored
I think,
her.
I think in like the finale, they bring the new girl in. They're like, Morgan, you, what are you? And she's like, what? I've been upstairs or something.
That was the longest time out of my life.
In Happy Days,
that was the longest time out of my life.
I don't know if it's the first episode of Happy Days or maybe it's like the second or third episode of Happy Days. Richie Cunningham has an older brother. And at last we see him, they're playing basketball in the driveway. And he's like, I'm going to go upstairs, take a shower. And we never see him again.
I like when they address it. They don't address that she's different. Do they? Maybe they
do. No, I don't think. I know
Zayn, they did that when they changed the actress who played Becky. They like her first episode, everyone's like, hey, where you been? You look so different.
Yeah. My wife and kids, too, when they changed, I forget her name, but the daughter, he's like, you look like a whole new person. Oh, no. She's like, he keeps looking at her and she's like, what, dad? I just tied my hair back. And he's like, I don't know what you did, but you look like a whole new person.
Well, that's like Family Matters. Judy just disappears.
Yes, that's right.
She's gone.
I love Judy.
Just gone.
I know. They had Richie. They didn't need her assassin.
Continuity was not as important. at this time in media. And that, it was about episodes. Mm-hmm. You just want the episodes to work. Like, you can just remove characters. Like, you could change things, fix things. You know, I remember in Miss Bliss, Zach Morris's dad is this, like, nerd who's bald and goes on a date with Miss Bliss. But then when we go from, like, Philadelphia to California... somehow, without saying that they moved, and he's got the same principle. In Saved by the Bell, his dad's like this slick, like, businessman with like a huge cell phone. Like, they don't, like, even if they remember, they're like, who cares? That was Zach Morris's. Yeah. We don't need that to be the dad now.
Well, yeah, Topanga's parents got hotter. That's all I have to say.
It got hotter. You heard it here, folks. Jen believes that the members of the Monkees are unattractive.
I didn't say that. They're all, no, we're missing one, right? How many Monkees are there? Four?
I believe so.
Oh, we were missing one, I think, but they come back for like a reunion. Yeah, Davy Jones reunion is in
episode.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what song do they sing? Crap.
One of the three?
Also, I mean, this doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but for a while when they were like setting things up in the first season, they had like a cursed seat. I forget exactly what they called it, but they kept trying to set Corey up with two best friends. And like,
one of them was the kid from the Sandlot.
Yeah, but they would just like rotate. He was good though.
Yeah,
he was in the episode where they had like careers and he went as Mr. Feeney. He was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kept, no one worked except for him and Sean, and they kept trying to make three happen. And I forget what they called it. They called it like the cursed seat or whatever for a while because they just saw the kids were not working.
Okay.
They were not lasting more than an episode.
Yeah, are there any important things that you wanted to touch on that we haven't gotten to?
They want you to take the roles.
Yeah.
So do you want to just do a bunch of quotes? Or,
I mean,
or do you want to talk about your favorite jokes?
Oh, wait, I need a second. Wait, I don't know. Hold on.
We also haven't talked about the quote-unquote Scream episode. What is it? What is it about? Why is it important? What happens in it?
It's honestly not. There's no importance to it at all.
But it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's
why?
Because it's so good. It's scary, but it's funny. It's Scream. It's Scream.
It's scary, but it's funny. It's one of the most terrifying things of my childhood.
It's so scary. Well, no. If we're on TGIF, the most terrifying things of my childhood was Steve-O from Family Matters.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then Carl Cole, or however they made Carl evil, because they couldn't leave it alone. I'm not okay. I'm not okay.
So there's an episode where there's like a killer, right? It ends up being a dream.
Yeah.
And they're...
Oh, the good parts about that is, well, the Kenny thing, but also like the movies.
Oh my God, thank you, Kenny. Yeah.
But also, this is just like that movie, Killer, Killer, You're the Killer. Or there was blood in the showers. This is just like in that movie, Blood in the Showers.
It was just so perfect.
So that episode ends in a very maudlin way where like the killer takes off his mask and it's Sean and it's like Sean dealing with himself, whatever. Is that what happens a lot? Does the show go from comedy to super, super schmaltzy a lot?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like it'll have like its very special episodes.
Because I just remember that being like going back to Full House. Now every episode of Full House had
a life lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my dad would be like, "Oh, it's the Mother's Dead music." Yeah. Like they would play the sad music, and we right, and now we're learning something.
No, but they did have a lot of episodes where it centered around something really serious that they had to like deal with.
What's the worst episode?
I don't have a worst one.
I think the worst episode is in the college one where Eric is trying to film himself for the studio, for the student union, like television station. I don't know if that's really a thing, but, and he ends up catching, what's the roommate's name? We just said it.
Jack and Rachel.
Rachel.
Oh yeah.
And she's like in a towel. So they end up like filming her, but then the end of it, they like go back to her childhood where she's like, I hate this episode. Eric realizes that it's getting a lot of views, so he wants to keep it going and he wants to keep filming her. So he like sets up a brick wall in front of the door, which like obviously that wouldn't happen. But then he also like sets something up where she has to climb out the window, but she has to go over the
It was that scared her from her childhood.
Yeah, what's the thing that like grinds up food in the sink?
Oh, the garbage disposal.
Yeah, that's it. And it like ate her or her bunny when she was little.
And he gets super artsy. He has like a director's hat on. Yeah. And it's almost like a very Truman Show.
Yeah.
He's narrating to her what you have to do. Yeah. And like you, and he's just, he sides with her then. Yeah.
I hate that episode. It's the worst episode.
Why?
It's just like, it's so unbearable. I hate watching it. I hate seeing it. It like never ends. It doesn't make sense.
Cringy before cringy was a thing.
Yeah. I don't think it fits in with the show. There's very little, I don't remember a lot of Corey in it.
And at that point too, I feel like Eric had, he was a goofball, but he was very mature and caring about his friends. Like, he had taken on that. It was very out of character.
It also, like, they didn't do crazy stuff like that. Like, that was not something you could do in the real world. Like, they didn't really step out of the
reality.
Yeah, that much.
All right, before you told me about time travel and witches.
Well, all the time travel were like dreams. So, like, a concussion.
Right.
Like the scream episode is a dream. He falls asleep in detention.
Falls asleep. Yeah.
The first time travel episode is him getting electrocuted and having like a dream while he's unconscious.
This is real.
This was like straight
within the story.
This wasn't something Eric made up. Like
Yeah.
How does Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
it's just like a fun like thing because they're talking about witches and DJ plays a witch and they're all Eric's trying to convince Jack that his girlfriend is a witch and he won't hear it. And then, like, after the credits, kind of, like, as the credits are rolling and you come back from commercial, like, those last couple of seconds.
He's out on the balcony with Sabrina, and he says to her, I gotta let you know, like, my friend just got to have a relationship, and he was dating a witch, so I'm kind of, like, spooked out. And she looks at him and, like, laughs, like, kind of, like, gives him a kiss and goes, what's wrong with that? And,
yeah.
Like, let's go out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they leave, and I think then Sean is still a frog.
Oh yeah, yeah. This
show, they turned Sean. I really love Halloween.
really brings people together. Halloween really does bring people together.
Like the Scream episode, you gotta watch it.
And the Feeny puppet. The Feeny puppet is a great episode. Well, not really a great episode. It's just a great
moment. Oh yeah.
Detention, Mr. Matthews. Detention, Mr. Matthews.
Oh God, that's so funny.
Can you elaborate on the Feeny puppet?
Detention, Mr. Matthews.
Eventually, so I think it's when Eric starts like thinking about college, although he takes like several years off, which is fine. But he really starts working with Mr. Feeny and he's cleaning out his locker and he's like, oh, my Feeny puppet, which is never referenced before or after that. But he just puts it on and he goes, detention, Mr. Matthews. It's so good. Why would he make a puppet?
Because he's Eric.
For the joke.
Yeah.
There it is.
Hilarious.
Continuity, people.
As we end here, what I want from both of you, Nick and Jen, is can you sell it succinctly to someone who's never seen it? Like, explain like why you should see it, why you should watch it, why it's worth your time. Sell it to me.
If you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
Okay. You haven't watched it past season 3. So
no,
she's
I
not
haven't.
Doing a good job of selling it to you.
Of course.
If you want a show where you get a true friendship, you can see two friends going through the trials and tribulations of middle school and high school and college and early adulthood, you get to see what I think. Like, I think the part that I was a very big, I liked girls. If I liked you, like I liked you and I wanted to tell you and write you a note and whatever. If you want to see that like courting that Corey brings, I think that's really, it's really nice to see a guy not treating a girl like crap. He goes after her in the right way.
Except the two times he cheats on her.
And there it is.
Whoa.
Lauren.
Sorry, I'd say it.
Two times.
He kisses the girl in her basement when Topanga has mono or laryngitis or
bad
something.
Bad job, bad guy. See, and Corey turns out, like, yeah, that those aren't nice things.
So I remember one memory I have outside of childhood was I was in my 20s. Back in these days, I would drink and smoke marijuanas. And
the plurals.
I went out with some guys. We went to see Snakes on a Plane. It had just come out. We were very drunk. We came back to my friend's apartment at like 2 in the morning. We did a lot of weeds. And we was very, very high. And he put on Boy Meets World. And it was the episode where they go on their honeymoon in like Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to stay in Hawaii.
So
and we were all like, is this a phenomenon? Is this a thing that happens where people want to stay on their honeymoons. Because I remember the episode making it like, oh yeah, this happens to everybody. Everyone goes on their honeymoon and then wants to stay there forever.
So,
thoughts, feelings. Do you remember this episode?
I remember the episode, and I think their thing was they didn't want to go back to college. They were living in, like, they hadn't figured out life yet. Like, they got this is where the show in college gets stupid, because they get married. They're living in dorms where he's living with Sean, she's living with Angela. Now they get married, and there's no plan. And his dad reams him when he comes back from the honeymoon.
Do you like that they got married?
I don't like that they got married then.
It feels corny is one way to put it, but it also feels Christian. It feels like if these two are going to have sex, they've got to be married. And they've got to get married when they're like really, really, really young. It's also that ideal of like, don't go out and try a bunch of things. The first person you fall in love with, you have to marry them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they bring that up. The mom brings that up. She's like,
don't you
want
to go out there?
Yeah. Like, you need to date other people to know that she's the one. Mm-hmm. Or she's not the one, but like, you need to experience life.
So totally realistically, I probably would not appreciate how great you are if you were if I met you in junior high. You know what I mean?
So, but here's the weird thing, and like, I'm going to get like into my personal life. Like, my brother and his wife, They met when I was in kindergarten. I was in kindergarten with her brother. We were at like play dates together.
What's their ages though?
Their age now?
No, their age when you were in kindergarten.
Oh, they were they're 3 years younger than I am. So they met when they were like three. And now fast forward to fifth grade, they both like each other and give each other like a toy at the end of the school year thing or whatever.
Adorable.
And then fast forward to high school. She's dating a couple people in high school. My brother's dating people in high school. And then early in senior year, they are both single and they go on a date. They're married and have a baby. Like, it's crazy because I'm a believer, and I think this is what the show did for me as a kid. I'm a believer that not that that's going to happen to everybody. Another friend of mine would have married the worst person on the planet if he married his first girlfriend. Saying it out there. But I think that's something cool with the show, is that it gives you that the idea that that can happen. Even though getting married in college made no sense, they should have gone later. But yeah, I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibilities.
I like the friendship aspects.
You think that's the relationship between two guys is more important to you than the relationship between Corey and Topanga?
I think so. I mean, not even just two guys, just like two people, as like a girl who watched it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care that they were two guys, but just like that closeness. I mean, I didn't really date in high school. I didn't date really in college either, but...
I didn't date at all until college. There was nothing. But,
you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay over there.
I mean, I was out there crushing ass.
Pounding it.
I was just like, it was an avalanche of puss. That was my life. This is not true.
I'm gonna take this for a second.
Is it 40-year-old virgin? This is just cocktail.
But yeah, friendships were like super, super, super important to me.
So is this your selling it to me?
Yeah. Okay. I mean for me, that like friendships were my biggest relationships and my most important relationships, and the relationships that I put the most effort into. And I think being able to see that in two people who like their relationship is the one that they put the most work into, I think. So
I know I said we're wrapping up, but I'd be remiss if we didn't touch for a second on the spinoff Girl Meets World. What are our feelings on Girl Meets World? It did not last very long at all. All right, that was Jen's feelings. Nick?
I started it, thought it was unbearable because I thought... those moments where you got in Full House, where they almost felt natural in Full House, it was like, I'm going to shove it down your throat and Corey's going to be Feeny.
But do you think it's because you're a grown-ass man now?
No,
because I can go back and watch Full House and not feel...
It's just bad.
If you were a kid watching Girl Meets World, you don't think that...
I think if I was a kid watching Girl Meets World, maybe I might have liked it a little more. But I don't think it's the nostalgia that keeps Boy Meets World good. Because I hate the older episodes. But I genuinely...
You mean the later episodes?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I genuinely think like 1 through 5 has good stuff. Like good stuff that would hold up.
And Girl Meets World was a Disney Channel show, right?
Disney Plus, yeah.
So it was more. Oh, no, was no, Disney Channel, you're right. I'm sorry. It was a while ago. So it was more. I remember it looking very colorful. It was a different kind of thing, right?
Well, also, I mean, not that it made a difference, but I don't know how boys' shows are marketed, but I know that girls' shows tend to be very colorful. Like,
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this was a show for girls. The other one was a show for boys.
Do you see their daughter being a baby at the end of Boy Meets World?
No.
They're not even pregnant.
Yeah, they're not pregnant. World.
Oh, okay.
They literally.
Like, but the girl, but her character ends up being gay or bi, right? That's kind of cool.
The actress does.
I know the actress does. I don't know. I thought the character did.
Although I didn't watch that far.
It doesn't last very long either.
Yeah, I didn't.
I think the coolest thing with Girl Meets World was the callbacks to the show. When Uncle Eric shows up for show. Christmas,
yeah.
It's like, yo, that's cool. When Uncle Sean shows up and hangs out,
oh my God.
That's cool.
Well, that's the weird thing, because it's like, who's this for? Is it for young girls now, or is it for the original?
I think it was, and then when they realized that it was hot garbage, they said, right. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna excite Jen.
Yeah.
What's your name? Ryder Strong. We need you for a few episodes.
I know.
It's like, oh my God, Sean's here.
I was going to say, I think that's the problem, too, is why it didn't last, because it didn't. If they just made it, I think it would have been better if they just made it for their target audience. Like, make it for girls. Mm. It doesn't have to all be a callback.
It had an identity problem, the show.
And like I said, like, I hate that Corey was a teacher. That did not need to be.
Because they want, was he her teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They wanted that. He had to be the Feeny.
Yeah.
And I think
is Feeny in it at all?
Yeah.
Randomly. He had a couple episodes.
But really, Corey's meant to be.
He's alive, right?
Yes, yeah. They're alive. Going to be at Connecticut Comic Con this weekend.
And he took down.
But his wife.
The dean. She plays the dean in the later episodes.
By the time people hear this, it'll have been in the past.
Oh, so
but
November 6th.
Get into DeLorean and go see it.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah, the comic. If you're like, oh, I gotta go see Feeny.
Not this weekend.
Sorry, it passed.
A while ago.
He took down a whole, like, robber a few years ago. Somebody tried to...
Well, he could turn into a car.
No, babe.
He's a car. He was a car in his first show.
Someone in the real world broke into his real house.
And he was like, Michael. And he turned into a car and ran a guy over in his house. Wild, wild story. So this has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bajorno.
Are we done?
Yeah. What, you got more?
Well, I don't know. I thought we were talking about Girl Meets World.
I just wanted to touch on it. Oh, right. You both said it was horrible.
The only thing I was going to say, you
have more to shit on it?
Yeah. Well,
you could have made a Girl Meets World that could have been called Girl Meets World that didn't have to have any of the actors in it, and you could have made a show targeted at girls meeting the world, and it could have probably been a really good show.
Yeah, like a reboot.
Yeah.
But also, but you were talking about... I feel like we need to talk about Eric more.
We need to talk about Eric at all.
Oh, okay.
But so in Girl Meets World, we're talking about like the references. There's an episode in Boy Meets World where Eric like is very close to adopting a child.
I've been thinking about this the whole freaking conversation.
Yes, a whole child. And it is the most like, oh, if there's ever an episode you would just want to watch and cry. This is the episode. It is heart-wrenching.
He plays Santa at the mall, meets a kid named Tommy. He kind of like is
oh,
his
yeah,
older brother.
Oh, yeah, it's a few episodes. Yeah.
He hangs out with him. Like, he takes him out for ice cream. He lives in an orphanage, a foster home, whatever the kid. He's in a foster home.
Yeah, foster home.
And then there's somebody who wants to adopt him. And he's like, wait, I want to adopt him. But he realizes it doesn't make sense because he's either in college or not in college and has no job.
He's just not mature enough and in the right place to be a parent.
And he doesn't have the $100,000 that it takes to actually adopt
correct.
People.
Like
in the
family
real world.
In California that already has one kid and wants, they have a daughter, now they want a son. So he goes off, but then Girl Meets World go.
Yeah. But anyway, Tommy doesn't get adopted, and then he makes him like feel really bad because Tommy thinks like, oh, you didn't want me or you didn't want me enough. And Eric just has to like.
Bite the bullet.
Yeah. Like just let him go because that's what's best for him.
And that's why Eric's the best.
Oh, it's so upsetting, but it's so beautiful. But yeah, so in Girl Meets World, Eric's running for senator or
some sort of political something.
And he gives this big speech about like why you should vote for him. And then Tommy, out of nowhere, is just like, oh, that's right. I was a little, or like, I forget exactly what the speech is, but basically like.
He knows they ask something about like the future of the state and like the younger generations.
Yeah.
And this guy stands up and says, well, how do you feel about this? And he explains his point. And then it ends up being the kid that he was going to adopt. And he speaks to how...
That was probably the best moment.
Mm-hmm. Girl Meets World.
Because it was so genuine. It wasn't like a force. Well, I guess it was kind of forced, but like...
Didn't feel it.
If you were only a fan of Girl Meets World, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't know. You would not know. But
you have no clue.
Oh, it is... It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Anyway, yeah. Eric has some good moments where he's just like a really like good guy before they have to make him goofy.
Even in the beginning before... I think he's goofy at that point. He's like, he's kinda, starting to touch and go on the goof, maybe.
Yeah.
But not like crazy Feeny Cole goofy.
Yeah. Although the Feeny Cole is pretty golden. Mm. But yeah. No. Yeah. I feel like there's more. There were other episodes where he was just like.
With Eric, I know there's something with when Topanga leaves for Pennsylvania, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He comes back.
He thinks he sees Sean kissing her. Oh, which he does. He like kisses her on the cheek. But yeah, he like tries to tell Corey what happened and Corey doesn't believe him. And then when Topanga leaves, Corey just like stands in the rain for hours. And Eric is just like, he's not goofy at all. He's just like with him. He's just there to take care of him.
Invites him to a movie and he's like, no, I just want to stand here. So he stands with him.
Yeah, in the rain. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm your big brother. I'm supposed to protect you from things, but I don't know how to protect you from this.
And then he lets Jack and Rachel be together.
Yeah.
He like steps out of the equation, moves out.
Yeah.
What does it mean to meet the world?
Kid gets acquainted with universe. That's another good episode. Well, they say it at the end. They have like a big stupid speech.
In the last episode?
Yeah. In like the last seconds.
With Feeny?
No, I think it's Eric. I mean, I think it's Corey with his brother, the little one.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he talks about...
Who's also, that's another continuity issue. Yeah. They move into the married dorms. Sure. They move into the married dorms at Pembroke, and they're run down and whatever, and there's this creepy little kid in the hallway.
Oh, yeah. That's the kid.
A year and a half later, turns out to be Corey's little brother.
I see dead people.
What? Jesus.
There's a random kid in the hallway that must be the product of some married couple in the dorms.
They're, like, going through the hallway, and it's, like, the worst hallway ever. They're moving into like the worst dorms ever, which are unlivable, by the way. So this college should be sued. But they're going through the hallway to their terrible, horrible dorm because they're married now. And people are screaming and like everything's awful. Because
they're trying to give you that like married life now isn't all sunshine and rainbows.
It's the worst thing you could ever do. Don't ever get married. Because you will see a little kid that sees dead people. And then when they get into their apartment, there's blood on the walls. Blood or pasta. And Topanga is like, I don't know. I ate it anyway. But someone got shot in their married dorm. Don't get married.
What's a married dorm? What?
This if you're is listening to this, you know what a married dorm is. Come on.
They only have that at Jesus University. Would they often just like quote popular things? Like, in the Scream episode, nine times they make South Park references. Not even a joke about South Park. Just say South Park quotes. Was that a big thing they did?
I don't remember that being a major thing.
I'm only asking because you just said that the kid says, I see dead people.
I know. Yeah, now true. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think, like, other times that they do it. I don't think so.
Okay.
Even in the Scream episode, it's funny because like they do South Park a lot, but like there's real movies they could reference and they don't. It's always just like a play on whatever they're saying. Well, except for Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you two gifted me the craziest comic that I've ever seen in my life, which I haven't opened yet because I'm waiting to watch the episode because we didn't get to watch it on Halloween this year.
That was just me.
Just Jen. Okay, sorry, buddy. But yeah, it was a comic that... Did you guys open it?
Yeah.
No?
No, I looked at it.
We didn't open it.
We perused it.
You didn't open it?
Yeah, I did.
You opened it?
Yeah, in front of you in your car.
You opened Nick's?
No.
Mine's opened?
I believe so.
I don't remember seeing any of the inside.
Oh, I remember seeing the inside. Go on.
So it was a comic about the episode, the Scream episode.
Oh, maybe open Kelly's. Yeah, drop Kelly's off too. Either way, don't matter.
So but it's not Kelly. Officially licensed. Somebody on Etsy just decided to make a comic of that episode.
Yeah, which let me tell you the story. I already told you the story.
Yeah, no, I want to hear it.
I was on, so we have a new Alamo Draft House that we often frequent. And the bartender there was wearing Sean Hunter earrings, which I am still on the hunt for. Please, if you know where they are, tell me. I will give you my money.
I would go back and just ask her.
She's not there anymore. I know, she took her earrings and she disappeared.
Oh, man. She's like Morgan's
altar.
You go.
She'll be back in a year as someone else.
Longest time out ever.
Right. So I went on Etsy and I was sure I could find them. And then I found this comic and I was like, oh, my God. And then there was only three left. And I was like, oh, my God. So I had to get one for me. I had to get one for you. And I had to get one for Kelly. Armageddon of the Brain.
Good. All right. Very cool. I love fan-made stuff that somebody just made that. Like, I also have over there a Baby Yoda that was a fan-made Baby Yoda before. Remember the Baby Yoda came out, but there were no toys on the market, and it became a big hit, and kids were like, we want Baby Yoda toys, and Disney didn't have any. So, like, fans made stuff. So I like fan-made stuff.
Well, this has been Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I was joined today by Jen and Nick. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for being here. I think the... maybe I'll go watch it now. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.